March muddiness. Turn to your neighbor and say, March muddiness. What is March muddiness? Well, this here is a lovely jar, $5.24 at Walmart, that has the same amount of dirt and water inside of us, right? And last week we talked about the beginning, how God created man from the dirt, from the dust of the ground. He created man and he spoke life into him. And so we see as life goes on, no matter how much dirt we have in our life, you know, as we pour things in, you know, as we shake things up, as we toss it out, catch, just kidding. We're going to get to the weights at the end, don't worry. The life is kind of about what we fill our cup with. Life is all about what we fill our cup with. If God gives us the basic shell, God gives us the basic ingredients, what's important is, what am I filling in my cup? You know, this month, it's something special. There's something special about this month. There's something special about March. What is so special about March? What is so special about this March? What is so special about March muddiness? This is the month we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on March 31st. We get to celebrate Palm Sundays on March 24th. We get to celebrate Jesus and all that he did. Jesus leaving heaven to come to earth. We get to celebrate Jesus who came to play in the mud. We get to celebrate Jesus who's full of love, who's full of power. We get to celebrate Jesus who's full of forgiveness. We get to celebrate the one who breathes and gives us so much every single day. And what I'll propose to you this morning, something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. And if God is doing something, something's about to happen. Take a second to ask yourself, am I willing to see this morning? Am I willing to taste? And am I willing to hear? Am I willing to taste? Am I willing to see all that God has from this morning? With that, our text this morning, Matthew 8, verse 5, and it says this. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are. Say the word from where you are. Say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, they go. Come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Verse 11. I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, east to west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. Many Israelites from those from whom the kingdom was prepared will be thrown into outer darkness. There will be weeping, gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. And the young servant was healed at the same hour. So this morning as we break down this story and we understand the text, it opens up by describing a Roman officer. A Roman officer, officers were the backbone of the Roman army. There was 60 different officers that were part of a legion. Each officer controlled anywhere from 80 to 100 men. 60 officers, each controlled 80 to 100 men, all part of the legion. Not allowed to be married. So back in the day, Roman officers, not allowed to be married. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. But secretly, because how many of us know we all like to keep secrets, right, sometimes? Secretly, many of the officers did marry. Officers were paid 15 times more than a regular soldier. But even though they were paid more than a regular soldier, they still couldn't afford many things. Because how many of us know there are jobs in this life that just don't pay very well, right? Now, if you flip burgers at McDonald's, you get $20 an hour, right? If you work at different stores, there's just different occupations. They don't pay very well. So even as a Roman officer, it's not that he made that much money. He comes to Jesus and he says, my servant. And what we don't know here, there's a couple things. It just says, my servant is at home. He's ill. He's paralyzed. He's sick. He's having a bad day. Jesus, I need help. Now, I think if a Roman officer maybe secretly was married, but didn't want to tell anybody, maybe he's speaking about a son or a daughter here. But he said servant, but maybe it's really somebody in his family. I think something inside of him, it was compelling enough for Jesus to say, hey, you have compelled me. I can see in your face. I can see in your tone. I can see in what you're describing, what you're asking. It is very, very compelling. I will come. And as soon as he says, I will come, he says, no. God, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come to my house. And really, there's two kinds of people in this world. And if you were to describe two different kinds of people, it's the type of people who, you know, clean their house every day. It's all perfect. It's shiny. It's like we got gold and silver all throughout the house. And so it's like Jesus can come to my house anytime. Woo! Jesus, come on over. And then you have other people who I'm going to clean it the next day, right? It's just, Jesus, no, you can't come to my house today. Kind of symbolizing the picture sometimes of our spiritual life. And sometimes do we see ourselves as righteous and holy? Do we see ourselves as the priest that God has made us to be, called and chosen? Do we see the authority and the power that God promises every one of us, that we are his sons and daughters? Or maybe we're just stuck playing in the dirt. God, I'm not worthy. And then when the Roman officer said, I'm not worthy, he was humble, but he also felt ashamed. He was humble, and he also felt ashamed. Now, interestingly enough, when he said those were the exact same words that John the Baptist turned in there and said, oh, John the Baptist, I love that guy. You want to talk about a diet? The guy ate locusts and honey. I mean, does it get any better than that? This was the man's diet. This is what he ate, locusts and honey. Yum. Let's go get some of that after church, right? But John the Baptist, Matthew 3:11, said this, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming who is greater than I am, so much greater, I'm not even worthy to be his slave or carry his sandals. John the Baptist said, listen, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals. And the word picture there that John the Baptist described of Jesus was the same words that the Roman officer also used to describe when he said to Jesus, I'm not ashamed. He didn't want him to come to his house because it was dirty. He didn't want to come to his house because he just didn't want Jesus to have to walk and waste time. He didn't want him to come because he knew that he had a lot of dirt. He had a lot of junk in the trunk. He knew that his house was full of stuff that when Jesus walked in, he'd be like, ooh. And he was ashamed. And you know what's interesting? He was ashamed of what he had in his house, but he was embarrassed. The embarrassment and the shame did not stop him from coming, begging and pleading for help from Jesus Christ. There was something that this Roman officer knew about Jesus. And I love, these are the most powerful words part of the story where he says, Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come to my home. All you have to do is just say the word. Now here's the thing. Back in the day, people believed there was healing places. We can go to the hot springs, we can jump in that water, and it's going to heal the body. We can go to the spa and get mud baths, and it's just going to do internal healing from the inside out. Back in this day, people believed there was certain specific healing places. They believed there were certain temples that you could go to. And you, if you went to the right temple, the right time of day, with the sunlight shining through this specific window, you could be healed. They believed certain interesting things. They even believed, man, if I come into contact with the right holy person. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you that right holy person this morning? I'm wondering. They believed healing places, maybe a healing temple, and maybe just the right person, I could find a healing. But this is where it gets good. No one, turn to your neighbor and say, no one believed in long-distance healing. What? Just like long-distance relationships, how many of us know those are tough and hard and horrific? So for this man here, because only the strong survive. Kim said we survived, yes, because I was in the Philippines and she was in Northern California, but that's because only the strong survive, baby doll. This man, for him to say to Jesus, I believe in long-distance healings, this had never been said. This is like, oh my gosh. Everything became silent, like being in the library. Everything was still. This man believed something that nobody else believed that could be done. He said, listen, Jesus, just say the word. And how did he understand that? Interestingly enough, his job, his occupation, and being a Roman officer, he understood the power of authority. Now, how many of us this morning understand the power of authority? When you were a little kid, when I was a little kid, believe me, in my house, I one day learned the power of authority. If I did something that I wasn't supposed to, like punch my sister, throw a rock at her head, I got a spanking on the butt from that man right back there. And so, as a young kid with heavy discipline, good discipline, I learned the power of authority. So did this man in this story right here. Now, this man also realized the power of recognizing the moment. And then this is the question you need to ask yourself and your neighbor. Do you recognize the power of this moment? Do you recognize the power of the moment? And what did he recognize? There's someone far greater, far more powerful than me. Even though I'm an officer, even though I'm very powerful and I guide 100 men, I tell them what to do every single day, I have power and authority, someone greater is standing in front of me. And many people fail to recognize the power of this story. Many people fail to recognize what they have when they open up the Bible. This is the Word. Jesus said, I am the Word. The Word is me. The power of the Bible, the power of recognition. To open up this story, this man recognized that Jesus was a man of power, that he had authority, that he had power to speak and the spoken word. He just had to speak. He just had to say the word. He just had to say the word. And many of us this morning, I think we get the power of spoken word. We just don't know how to use it very well. I think this morning, many of us, we know that there is power in our words, but many times we don't use that power very well. Just like in our country today, there's many people who have power, doesn't mean that they use that power very well. There's many wealthy people in our world today, does not mean that they use their wealth and money very well. This story here describes a man. And the picture here is, honestly, a Roman officer, for Jesus to help the Roman officer, this was disgusting. This was gross because Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. This man was a Roman officer. Everyone hoped, prayed that when the Messiah came, he was coming to deliver us from not death, not sin. They were praying for the Messiah to come to deliver them from Romans and the Roman rule. But for Jesus to go and help this Roman man, that was gross, and that was disgusting. People probably started, and they already didn't like Jesus. They're pointing fingers, they're putting their hand over their nose. Oh, I knew he was gross. I knew he smelled funny. Jesus was totally blown away by the power of this man's words. He says, I haven't found faith like this anywhere. I have not found faith. You know, in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's only a handful of people who had this kind of faith. In the four Gospels, there's only recorded a handful of people. We can count on one hand the amount of people that Jesus said, wow, man, you got some faith. And this man was one of them. How did this man have faith? How did he believe? How did he know? How was it that this guy who was an outsider, he was on the outside looking in. How did he know? How did he know? You know, the sad story is at the end of this, Jesus said, you know, at the end, there's going to be people who think they're going to go to heaven, and they're not. And then he said, there's people who are just hoping inside. Ah, man, I hope I make it. Man, I hope I get there. Jesus, you're going to be surprised at the end who actually gets in. You're going to be very, very surprised who gets in. With that, our next text, turn to Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 20. Matthew 8:28. It says this. When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of Gardenus, there's two men possessed by demons who met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. I found some bacon. The demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into the herd of pigs." "All right, go," Jesus commanded them. So at the demons came out of the two men. They entered the pigs, and the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake, and they drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to a nearby town, telling everybody what happened to the demon-possessed men. And the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away. "Leave us alone." And so this morning, this text, we open up with two men. Turn to everyone and say, two men. They just like hanging out at the gravesite. They like hanging out at the tombs. They like hanging out, and what is at the gravesite and the tombs? Death, darkness, stench. These two men, they found it comfortable. They become comfortable, become used to hanging out in dark places. And it says that these two men became violent men. They were so violent that it says they blocked anyone from passing by. Their violence, the possession that they had, things that were inside of them, hanging out in this place of death. Possessed means to be controlled by evil spirits. These two men were possessed by evil spirits. If you were to look up the word oppressed, systematically, mentally harmed, mistreated, and taken advantage of, weighed down, overwhelmed, overpowered, demons in the spiritual world. What does this start? Doesn't it start with possession? You know, there are people who say, "Demons, come and possess me." You know, there is absolutely people who want to be a channel and a guide to the demonic. And so there are people who want and look, and they're trying to thrive off the darkness, like in these tombs here. But then there's something that happens a different way, and that's through oppression. Systematically, mentally harmed, mistreated, taken advantage of, weighed down, overwhelmed, overpowered, oppressed. And today, are there people who are still possessed by demons? You better believe it. But even greater than possession, you know what there is? It's oppression. Systematically, mentally harmed, mistreated, taken advantage of, weighed down, overwhelmed, overpowered, demons who are constantly. Remember Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, listen, in the last days, there's going to be the message of demons, and many people are going to run after that message. Man, that sounds good. That sounds good for me, like a nice big fat cheeseburger and french fries. Demons. Is that what we're having for lunch today? Just kidding. Demons systematically, mentally harming, mistreating, trying to take advantage of, weighed down, overwhelmed, overpowered. And if we think about the demonic for a minute, you know, back in the day in the church, spiritual warfare used to be one of the biggest topics you could find anywhere. And it was one of those big fads where everywhere you went, we're talking spiritual warfare, angels, demons, and we're battling, and we're praying, and we're carrying around swords, and we're chopping the air to get rid of them, and all this kind of stuff. And for some reason, that just kind of dropped off the earth, right? And then there's been prosperity. There's so many different fads that hit the church, right? It's like clothes that we wear. There's so many different fads that we go through. But unfortunately, this one is one that maybe has been overlooked a little bit. and maybe overlooked a little too much. Because what we don't realize, and I love the description of the systematic mental breakdown. A demon knows if I'm a good person, if I'm a righteous person, exactly. If I'm a good person, if I'm a righteous person, if I'm doing what's right, if I'm this and I'm this and I'm that, demon's not going to come to you and say, hey, man, if you follow the devil, he's going to open up the world to you. You'd be like, ooh, what? Get away from me. And start shouting and screaming and all kinds of stuff. So what does the devil and demons do? Systematically, with the plan, work to break us down. Bible says the devil's an angel of light. Bible says he masks around. He puts on a pretty dress. He works out and he's buff. He walks around with his shirt off, right? All kinds of things that he does to try and get different attention and what? Break us down. Unfortunately, these two men in the story, they were broken down. People who are oppressed and possessed by demons, a lot of times they do things that hurt themselves. They will cut. They'll do different things. They want to feel pain. It says that many people who've been possessed by demons have a hard time speaking, have a hard time listening. Okay? And I ain't going to say this morning that us in here, oppressed or possessed, but think about it. As Americans, as humans, how hard is it to listen today? Let's be extremely honest. We have a problem listening. In this day, if you had a hard time, unable to hear, unable to see, unable to speak, weighed down, overwhelmed, the question arises, maybe there's possession. These men were broken down. Back in the day, people believed in magic. They believed in saying certain words and sayings. There was people who wore certain necklaces. Back in this day, there were certain women who believed that demons would come and kill the baby inside of a womb. And so they would wear certain objects and necklaces. And if I wear this necklace, and if I wear the right color dress, and if I say the right words, it's going to protect me from demons. And all of that stuff, it's really just a bunch of hogwash. Because at the end of the day, we don't need to wear a necklace. What we need is Jesus. What we need is Jesus. Our friends need Jesus. Our family needs Jesus. Everybody we know, we need Jesus. Jesus isn't a band-aid. Jesus is the fix to all. Jesus is the fix. And Jesus Christ is the one who has complete authority. There's many people who we know who feel powerful in our world. There's many wealthy people, there's many athletes, even in just everyday normal people who they feel powerful. I feel so powerful and strong, and I feel so, kind of above other things and other people. But fortunately, one day for everyone who feels powerful, the Bible says one day every knee will bow. And every person will have to submit to Jesus Christ because Jesus has complete authority. And every time in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke and John, every demon who came into contact with Jesus, they terrified. No matter how powerful, these two men were violent, and it said that they made people flee and get away because they were so angry and violent, scaring everybody away. They blocked people from using a certain road. Two demonic men who had allowed demons to possess them, they blocked a path. You know, you think about today, how many people are trying to block others from Christianity? How many people today don't want the word of God to be preached in its truth, how it says it in black, white, and red, if you got the red letter edition? How many people today, they don't want to talk about the things the Bible talks about because that's the truth. We're going to offend people. We're going to make people mad. Maybe it's not the truth that make people mad, but maybe it's the oppression and the message of demons that make people mad. Not the word of God, but the message of demons. These two men were blocking the way. Man, and I sure hope I don't ever become a blockade for someone to hear the truth. Man, I sure hope that I don't ever get in the way of someone getting saved. I sure hope that my struggles, my dirt, doesn't stop someone. May I not be that. May you, may we never be a blockade for someone to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my title this morning is called Long Shot. Turn to your neighbor and say Long Shot. And a long shot, long distance, long shot. How many of us, this would be a dumbbell, right? This is a 3-pound dumbbell. Now, I'm pretty sure most of us in here, we could all work out with this sucker right here, right? Three pounds, man, it's not that hard, right? We could, you, right? I'm sure if we pass it around, we could all take turns. But the challenge is, if you really wanted to become physically fit and strong, would you want the 10-pounder? Or the 3-pounder? Which one? If you really needed to bulk up and become strong, if you really, and how many of us have had at least the goal in life once or twice, I need to get a little more fit. I got to fit into those shoes. Just kidding. We don't care if our feet fit in the shoes or not. It's more, I got to fit into the jeans, right? How many of us have ever had the goal, I got to get a little more fit? Now, that's a great goal, and it sounds good. It's one of the most popular, right? Every year, January 1st, got to get a little more fit. But how many of us know, if we were to look at a 3-pounder, then we were to consider the 10-pounder in comparison to what it takes to be fit, I think we all could agree this morning, yeah, it probably does take a little bit more to be fit. But have we noticed ever that this morning, when it comes to spiritual things, we're not wanting to be fit, wanting to be easy. We don't want to be fit, we want it to be easy. And let me back up for a second, because how many of us, do we ever listen to our prayers? Well, what we pray for? We're praying and we're asking for instant solutions. We're praying and asking God, this is what I need. This is how I need it. Even if it's for our brother, sister, cousin. Even if it's for our dogs, who are just as important as brothers, sister, and cousins. Right? We, when we have something that is in our life going on, we're praying and believing for something instant, and we're praying that God is just going to be my easy fix. But what if God didn't create life for an easy fix? What if God made life so that we learn to work it out? Work it out. Work out those cheeseburgers. Not sure why I got cheeseburgers on the mind. Guess it sounds good, but speaks to, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a guy named Joshua. Not my son Josh, who's just as awesome and amazing as the guy in the Bible. But Joshua was called to be the second leader of the people of Israel out of deliverance. Moses, a man who was a stumbling, fumbling kind of guy, led the people of Israel out of Egypt. But because of his anger, turned to him and said, oof, I hope you ain't angry. Because of Moses' anger towards people, he didn't get to see the promised land. So God picked his second in command, Yeshua, to lead the people into the promised land. And what did he say to them? He said, be strong and courageous. He said, do not ever depart from the word of life, from truth. He says, Joshua, study this book day and night. You know what I like? Bibles, they make them big or small. And honestly, I think we all should carry a big one. Because if you ever hear someone say, you don't need to read it that often, you need a big one to smack them. Right? Someone ever tells you, I don't got time to read, what do? Smack them. We like big Bibles, right? We like big Bibles. And why do we need big Bibles? You know what? Because we got to keep each other in check sometimes. We got to keep each other in check. So God says to Joshua, study this day and night, night and day. Read it, speak it, understand it, chew on it, meditate it. Be strong and courageous. But here's the thing. That sounds good. Be strong and courageous. But in our mind, what are we thinking? I'm just going to pray, and then God zaps me, and then I'm instantly strong and courageous. That's not how it works. Because remember, our minds go into easy. In order to become strong and courageous, God leads us through situations to work it out, to where our faith becomes strong and our faith becomes courageous. Maybe we have to stop praying, God, make this easy. I know we don't pray, make it easy, but that's really what we're saying. Make this day easier. Make this election year go by real smooth. Help us to get who we need to get. God, help the economic world and my life and in the world to become better. Why are we saying? We're saying, God, make everything easy. God isn't easy. Notice throughout the Bible, have you ever noticed from beginning to end when God asked Noah to build a boat? Was building a boat easy? When God asked David to be a shepherd and he had to watch over as a young teenager, killing a lion and a bear, would that be easy? Would a young teenager, would it be easy to take on someone who's over 9 feet tall, two times his size? Would it be easy for Jesus to come to the earth, to live, to walk, to live, and to preach, and to create enemies? Jesus created enemies, frenemies, enemies. Doesn't matter, either one. Jesus created people everywhere he went, everything that he did. He created people who didn't like him. They didn't like the way he did it. They didn't like what he said. They didn't like how he handled situation. And so this morning, my opening text, there was a Roman officer who said what? Just say the word. And here's the thing. I think for many of us, this text messes us up because we think God is saying it's just going to be easy. It's just going to be easy. But you know why it's not easy? Because the man in the story, to become a Roman officer, to get bossed around. Believe me, these men were not pretty. I'm sure some of them were handsome. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But their life was not a pretty story. It wasn't roses. If you were a Roman officer, the killing, the torture, the things that you had to go through, the training, it was not no easy task. And so if you're going to elevate and keep moving up the ladder, it's not because you were a nice guy. It's because you became a tough guy. And this tough guy learned to become a humble guy. God, I'm wrong. God, you're more powerful than me. God, you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, I need you. God, I need you more than anything. And so this morning, our closing thoughts, and we wrap up, and we're going to get to our glass jar this morning. This man said, just say the word. But it wasn't really in just saying the word. It was all the life and training and working out he went through to be able to say, just say the word. God is trying to bring us to a point of being spiritually fit and strong, and that's not the snap of a fingers. Here it is. We're done. We're over with. Here you go. No. working out every single day, every single situation, reading the word, praying, talking, being able to handle everything that gets put in front of us. And lastly, God created us from the dust of the ground. And through life, many of us add water. We add color. We'll add some flowers. We'll put some seeds in here. We'll add different things. Because we want to make our container the way we want, right? We want our container to be what it wants to be, how it wants to feel. We want to dress it up. We want to do all these different things. If I was to ask you, would you take a bath, go swimming in this, not in this specific container, but in water, we can watch you try, in this water right here, we may have a few takers. We may have a few takers that say, I ain't afraid of dirt. I'm not afraid of mud. I'm not afraid to get dirty. But most of us, most Americans, most humans, most people would choose to bathe in clean water. Jesus, when he came to the earth, the dirt, the mud that we've all created, it didn't scare him away. Jesus dug right into that mud. Jesus got right on the ground. And to every one of us, he says, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Your mud doesn't bother me. Your dirt doesn't bother me. But a couple things. Stop playing with other people's dirt. Stop. If I'm going to get into your dirt and I'm going to change everything from the inside out, stop talking and living by what other people are doing. It's time to just be who I made you to be. And then lastly, the second thing he says is, there's certain people that nobody wants to go next to. They don't want to be with. There's certain people that we are bothered by. There's certain people who just bug us. There's certain people that when we get next to them, it could be the perfume, it could be the BO, it could be their tone of voice, it could be their attitude. There's certain people that we just don't want to get next to. And Jesus says, if I'm getting dirty for you, you're going to get dirty for me. If I'm going to get dirty for you, you're going to get dirty for me as well. Let's pray.